Saving Ministries. This is Dr. John Paul, along with Minister Linda. And we're coming back today to you to bring you a very special message in Promises and Prophecies leading up to becoming more Christ-like in our daily walk. And Minister Linda will be talking about the power of the Word and the pattern set before us. You know, there's so much about we need to know from Scripture about Jesus Christ, because he's all the way through the entire Bible. But today we're going to center our attention first in our message on Christ revealed in messianic prophecies found in the book of Psalms alone, just the book of Psalms. But before we begin, let us bow in a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, we come before your throne of grace saying thank you for all the many blessings you bestow upon us. Thank you for saving us from our sins, Lord. Now, Lord, cleanse us from any and all sins that might stand in the way of this message today. Guide us as we study your word. In Jesus' blessed and holy name, we pray. Amen. The book of Psalms is quite an interesting book, but the reason we're selecting this today is to draw your attention to at least 20 points that we're found in here talking about the prophecy of the coming of the Messiah. And we know the Messiah is Jesus Christ. It says in Psalms 2:7, I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son today, and I have begotten you. One of the most exciting times in our life is to anticipate a future event, especially even the season of the year. You know, as believers, we have something to look forward to that's even more exciting than anticipating the budding of flowers or a lot of sunshine after a long winter. God made promises in his word, and each one has been or will be fulfilled. But the certainty that Christ will return is one of the greatest promises of all. You can find that in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 17 and Acts chapter 1:7 through 11. As we continue with our study of Christ being revealed in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, one must take a close look at prophecy. So much has been written in the Old Testament about the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we must take a closer look at these in order to understand the importance that are emphasized of the truth, the fact that every single promise God's made and every single prophecy that's been given at the direction of God through his divine revelation has been fulfilled to the letter. There are some yet to be fulfilled, but there is no doubt that they will be totally filled. What's amazing are the odds of just one prophecy being fulfilled, much less hundreds. In our study today, I've prepared a chart of these, which you won't be able to see, but if you'll have your pencil ready, I will be able to give you the references. Our first one, step, is in Psalms 2:7. God will announce Christ to be his son. As I mentioned this scripture at the beginning, I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you're my son, today I have begotten you. This verse recalls 2 Samuel 7:18, 8 through 16 as the basis for the Davidic king. It's also the Old Testament reference to the father-son relationship in the Trinity, a relationship that was planned in eternity past and realized in the incarnation. The incarnation means God coming to live and be among us as he came from heaven to be here on earth and live among us and show us that he is God incarnate. It expresses the privileges of relationship when it says, I have begotten you. And it is the prophetic application to the Son Messiah. This verse is quoted in the New Testament with reference to the birth of Christ in Hebrews chapter 1, 5 and 6. Also to his resurrection in Acts 13, 33 and 34. Let's also clarify the word begotten since it's often misstated or misrepresented. The English word translated as begotten comes from the Greek word monogenes. And I know that's a hard one. It's M-O-N-O-G-E-N-A-C-E, monogenes. It's according to Strong's Concordance that this word is not an event of time, however remote, but a fact of irrespective of time. Christ did not become, but necessarily an eternity, or he was eternally the Son of God. He is a person who possesses every single attribute of the pure Godhead. He is the reflection of the Father. In Colossians 1:15, Paul writes, he is the image of the invisible God. And that word image comes from the Greek word icon, which we get icon, I-C-O-N. It means a copy or likeness. Jesus is the perfect image, the exact likeness of God, and is the very form of God, which is found in Philippians 2:6, John 1:14, and 14:9. In Matthew 3:17, God declares his son, and suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And if you remember that scripture, we not only heard the voice of God from heaven speaking, we saw Jesus Christ coming up out of the water being baptized for his ministry by John the Baptist and the dove settling on his shoulder representing the Holy Spirit. In our second point is Psalms 8:6. All things will be put under his feet. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. Even though this verse emphasizes the significance of man who was created in the very image and likeness of God, it is extended to mean all things were put under Christ's control. And we find that in Scripture. Man failed to do due to sin and disobedience to God, but Christ fulfilled God's law, became obedient even to death to fulfill God's requirements for sinless sacrifice. In our third point, Psalm 16:10, Christ will be resurrected from the grave. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. Even though these words were expressed by confidence of the lesser David, they were applied messianically to the resurrection of the greater David, Jesus Christ. Both Peter and Paul made this clear in Scriptures, Acts 2:25 through 28 and Acts 13:35. Mark 16:6 through 7 also state he is risen. Peter's sermon specifically tells us that King David made the statement in Psalm 16:10, and God spoke prophetically through him as to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our fourth point, Psalms 22:1, God will forsake Christ in the moment of agony. My God, why have you forsaken me? Even during a time when both David and Christ expressed despair in what may have seemed a hopeless situation, they repeat God's name, which reflects hope. The word forsaken is a strong expression of a personal abandonment, which was felt by David and extremely expressed by Christ on the cross when he felt God's wrath being poured on him as he became the substitute of sin for all of us sinners. Our point five, Psalms 22:7 through 8, Christ will become scorned and ridiculed. All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out their lip. They shake their head saying, he trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him since he delights in him. The phrase shoot out the lip means literally they separate the lips, which is an idiom meaning for sneering at him. So as one can see by the exact wording quoted in Psalms 22:7, it was Christ who spoke from the cross, the words repeated in Psalms. And in Matthew 27:39, the exact actions were seen and recorded. Psalms 22:16 is our sixth item. Christ's hands and feet will be pierced. They pierced my hands and my feet. Notice how the verse is structured. The personal pronoun, my, is capitalized, indicating it is a direct reference to Jesus Christ. There is no doubt that this application is to the messianic applications, and it is the prediction and reference to Christ's crucifixion. Even Thomas clearly stated this when he wanted to see proof of the nails in his hands and feet and the pierced side. Psalms 22:18, others will gamble for Christ's clothing. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. This is a direct reference to exactly what occurred during the time of Jesus Christ's crucifixion. Our eighth item is Psalms 34:20. Not one of Christ's bones were broken. He guards all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Oh, that's so important because we saw it as evidence from the cross and quoted in Scripture several times. In Psalms 35:19, Christ will be hated unjustly. Let them not rejoice over me who are wrongfully my enemies, nor let them wink with an eye who hate me without a cause. Without any doubt, the mockery he was anticipating that hated of his enemy by his enemies, as predicted, have been recorded as being taking place. And Psalms 10, our 10th item, Psalms 40:7-8, Christ will come to do God's will. Then I said, behold, I come in the scroll of the book. It is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. The application is obvious that this passage applies to the greater David, Jesus Christ. The author of Hebrews 10:7 repeats the reference and is stated in John 5:39. Now let's pause for a moment. I'd like for you to listen to this script, this message in music by Steve Warren as he sings, God's Word Will Stand.
God's Word became flesh and he came down among us. He dwelt among men doing his Father's will. He was nailed to the cross for the plan of salvation he had come to fulfill. The grave could not hold him. He ascended to heaven on his Father's right hand. He is seated there still. And that's why today God's word will stand when nothing else will. Stand when nothing else will. The storm clouds of life are raging all around you. Open the book to find peace that is real. It seems like the battle you're facing is hopeless. The harder you fight, the weaker you feel. Stand on God's word. God's word will stand.
Didn't that message in music point directly to what we have just been bringing out in Scripture? Yes, God's word will stand no matter what we may do or say. It has always stood through the test of time. Our 11th item is in Psalms 41:9. It says, Christ will be betrayed by a friend. Even my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. Just as David's close companion betrayed him, so did that happen to Christ when Judas betrayed him. And then it says in Matthew 26:21-25, then Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, Rabbi, is it I? And he said to him, you have said it. Jesus was in control of everything, his time, place, and even his betrayer. In number 12, Psalms 45:6, Christ's throne will be eternal. It says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. And notice it says in here that Christ's throne, who is God's throne, is forever. References to him being God. The Lord Jesus Christ definitely is deity. And it says that it points to Christ, whose throne is forever and ever. That's a direct quote made to Psalms 45:6 in Hebrews 1:8. But there's more. The passage states, but the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. Did you see that? It's forever and ever, and God will always rule over us. In our 13th item in Psalm 68:18, Christ will ascend to heaven. You ascended on high, the Lord God might dwell there. That's Psalm 68:18. The terminology leaves little doubt that Jesus, the Lord God, who ascended into heaven, he will also descend and come back in a second coming, which is called the second advent. He also conquered death and sin through his crucifixion, death and burial, and especially that resurrection, which overcame all the things. He has brought victory into our lives. Our 14th item is Psalm 69:9. Zeal for God's temple will consume Christ, because zeal for your house has eaten me up, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me. You know, Dr. John MacArthur made this statement: the psalmist has brought hatred and hostility on himself by his unyielding and insistence that the behavior of the people measure up to their outward claim of devotion to God. Wherever God was dishonored, he felt the pain because he loved God so greatly. Jesus claimed for himself this attitude, as indicated in John 2:17, Romans 15:3. Can you imagine how he feels today with what he's seeing and he's hearing from heaven? Oh my, we should pray for our nation and our world today. In our 15th item, Psalm 69:21, Christ will be given vinegar and gall. They also gave me gall for my food, and for my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. This was a quote from the cross at the time of his crucifixion. It, you know, gall was a poisonous item, but they mixed it with vinegar, and it was supposed to provide those thirsty up on the cross a way of being deadening their pain. It was supposed to be a narcotic. Jesus would not drink it because he wanted to maintain his senses and complete his work he had to do. That's referred in Psalm 69:21. Our 16th item is Psalms 109:8. Christ's betrayer will be replaced. Let his days be few, and let another take his office. That verse of prophecy was cited by Peter at the time that they replaced Judas with Matthias. Another apostle was selected, as it's found in Acts 1:20. Now, let us go on to our 17th item, Psalms 110:1. Christ's enemies will bow down to him. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord said, my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Oh, the first of this phrase says, my Lord, refers to divine human king of Israel, the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ's humanity descended from David, which is demanded by the Davidic promise out of 2 Samuel 7:12. Using this passage, Christ also declared his deity, which is in the Gospels, Matthew 22:44, Mark 12:36, and Luke 20:40, verses 42-43, by arguing that not only God could have been Lord to King David. My right hand says that God the Father invited God the Son in his ascension to sit at the place of honor in the heavenly throne room. Refer to Acts 2:22-36 and Hebrews 10:10-12. Your enemy is your footstool tells us about an old ancient Near Eastern picture of absolute victory. The idea of footstool portrays the idea that one's enemy was now under one's foot. You can see that in Psalms 8:6-7, 47:3, Isaiah 66:1, 1 Corinthians 15:27. This picture also anticipates Christ's second advent, which is found in Revelation 19:11-21. He is seen as the conquering king. Peter explains this in greater detail in his sermon in Acts 2:29-36. Our 18th item, Psalm 110:4. Christ will be a priest like Melchizedek. The Lord was chosen and will not relent. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. The first time in history of Israel, a king simultaneously served as high priest. You'll see that in Genesis 14:18-20. Christ represents the final and foremost high priest in the history of Israel. For New Testament details, please look at Hebrews 5:6, 6:20, and Book 7:17. Now, our 19th item, is Psalm 118:22. Christ will be the chief cornerstone. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. You know, so many of the priests, high priests, and people back in the days of Christ rejected him. But Peter identified the chief cornerstone in the New Testament as Christ. You can see that in Acts 4:11, 1 Peter 2:7. Several other passages carry the same message. That's found in Matthew 21:42, Acts 4:11, and 7:35, and there are many others. As you can see, these prophecies have come true and are actually seen in history. Our 20th item out of Psalms is book 118, verse 26. Chapter 118, verse 26. Christ will come in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. God is the Lord. Not only does Christ tell us that he will come in the name of the Lord, verse 27, we are told that God is the Lord. He is deity with no doubt. In Matthew 21:9, a direct quote of Psalms 118:26 can be found. The crowd uses the messianic title, Son of David, which makes it clear they were acknowledging Christ's messianic claim. Even Dr. MacArthur noted that this date of this entry was Sunday, 9 Nisan, AD 30, which is exactly 483 years after the decree of Artaxerxes mentioned in Daniel 9:24 through 26. You know, there's so much about prophecy and promises that we can cover. There's so many things to mention, but I wanted you to pinpoint this fact. The book of Psalms is just one book out of the entire Bible. All of the entire Bible speaks about Jesus Christ. Even though our study has taken us through only 20 scriptures of only one book of the Old Testament, the truth becomes crystal clear. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is Emmanuel, which is noted as God with us, and it's been revealed in Messianic prophecy. One verse after another, throughout one book after another, this truth becomes obvious to those who seek it. Isaiah 42 speaks of the servant of the Lord, who is none other than the Messiah, Jesus Christ. This alone can be seen in Luke 9:35, 1 Peter 1:20, and Revelation 13:8. This chapter tells us that God has put his Spirit upon him, and in verse 7, he will open blind eyes. Jesus fulfilled all these words in this chapter. See Matthew chapter 4, 13 through 16. It was Jesus Christ who applied the words of prophecy when he performed the miracles of physical healing and the freedom from spiritual bondage during his incarnation. That's referenced in Matthew 11:5, Luke 4:18. The more study that one does of God's word, the cleverer the message comes. God opens blind eyes who faithfully seek him and truly believe in him. As Pastor George Mills of the Yukon Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida wrote, Satan's attack never changes. It's the same today to alter the word of God. He dilutes the word by addition. He destroys the word by subtraction. Do as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:58, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Have steadfast faith, ladies and gentlemen. I pray that each and every one of you will take to heart these prophecies and these promises, for they are history, they are recorded, they have come true exactly as they were written years and years ago before it ever took place. God's word will stand, as Brother Steve Warren said in music. And before we end up my message today, I'd like to bring you a special music now that is by Gold City. It says, Cast Your Bread Upon the Water. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like for you to consider what this music says. You should cast your bread upon the water, Jesus Christ, for through him and only him you can receive salvation and receive eternal life. Now, let's pause for a minute and listen to this music.